Hey everybody, welcome back to a brand new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Guys, I know that it has been a while. I'm not going to do that boring thing where I usually go back and look up when the last released episode was. It's been crazy times. I also had a little bit of a vacation that I'm going to talk about. I just got back from that vacation. I also have some big announcements to talk about today. That might be the most important thing to get through is the announcements for today. And also, let me just get my notes here. Hey, I have some funny stories from vacation, and I have some big announcements to talk about. And the cool thing is, since I'm running a little bit behind this week, having just returned from Croatia, if you are listening to this on Thursday, August 21st, then you are hearing it on the exact day that I recorded it, which is kind of special. I normally don't get the chance to... Well, I said I get the chance as if it's a good thing. Usually I record these shows a few days in advance, so that, you know, there's time to make edits. But I'm running late, and so we're getting this fresh right out of the pan, right out of the oven. So yeah, let's get into it. So first and foremost, I want to make the announcement so that I'm sure that I don't forget to do that. It's slightly bittersweet, but I think it's for the best. I had a really supportive, good conversation with my booking agent about this, who wrote me some extremely wonderful words of wisdom, because I was kind of going through a funk in the holiday time in Croatia because, well, the truth is that the ticket sales, particularly for Cologne and for Berlin, of all places, which is very odd. Berlin is where the analytics show me, you know, resides the majority of my audience. But the ticket sales for Cologne and Berlin were just not doing what the numbers that we need. And so we have decided to go to or not, I didn't want to use words like settle for or downgrade because I don't really feel like it's that after I show you what my agent told me. I don't think it's like that. It's just, you know, the ticket sales weren't what we were hoping for. I think we overshot. I remember when we were booking for the tour, I guess it was earlier this year or last year. We were looking at, you know, places to go to, and I remember when we were booking the locations, telling my booking agent that I thought we were kind of jumping the gun a bit. Like, I remember telling her, this is a big place, I don't know about all that, that's pretty crazy, it's pretty huge, you know, I don't know if this really makes sense. And, but, you know, then she kind of convinced me because the last tour sold out so quickly that we were like, well, okay, let's just give it a shot, let's see. So the previous, locations, the one for Cologne was like a 900 seater. It was like this big, hall. And we just weren't getting the numbers for that like we'd hoped. And then for Berlin as well, it was like an 800 person venue. And again, the numbers weren't doing that well. So we have moved, for those, just to give you guys the information, if anyone's listening who plan to go to Cologne or Berlin, there will be an official announcement through the agency and through my social media later today that will officially announce, again, podcast listeners always get it first. Later today, I will officially announce that Cologne has been changed to still a seated venue, but just significantly smaller, called Gloria. And Berlin has been moved also still to a seated venue, but smaller, called the Kleistsaal. Kleistsaal. So Gloria and Kleistsaal are the new locations. Frankfurt, Vienna, Innsbruck, Hamburg, Zurich, and Munich are still the same. Those are still the same locations. And I'm going to tell you why. So, you know, clearly when you get information like that, or you have to face a harsh truth, It's disheartening a bit. You start to feel like a failure, and like that maybe you got too ahead of yourself. The people aren't interested anymore. I was talking to my booking agent about this, and she had a really, really, really good point. Which was basically, I told her that I was feeling down on vacation about this. I was really in my head about it. And I think I told you guys also I don't know if I mentioned it on the last episode that there has been this, issue with the algorithm. I think I did talk about that on the last episode. If not, just briefly, I had basically seen that my numbers were kind of slowing down, but I was seeing my peers still doing well, and I hadn't been approached by any followers or gotten any emails or letters or DMs or anything from anybody suggesting that I had done something wrong, that people had maybe unfollowed or stopped engaging with the content because it was, that I had done something to offend people. So I was really curious, and I put a video out asking the audience, it's like, so what's going on, guys? Like, what's happening? Why do we feel this way? And there was some great constructive criticism. Like, certainly, I think working on the book had me, naturally putting my content second, because I was trying to work on something very difficult and also preparing for Lollapalooza and stuff. But yeah, some people had good constructive criticism. That is stuff I have written down and planned to make, better, like, developed content. However, the overwhelming majority of responses was that the algorithm had simply just pushed my content sort of down or, like, out of people's feeds. Like, when I made this video, this really heartfelt message that's still up on my page, I made a video, and the comments, a lot of them, and DMs from people after they watched it, an overwhelming majority said, oh my God, I followed you for years, but I haven't seen your stuff in like 6 months. I thought you took a break from social media. Like, a lot of people said that. Even like close friends, even friends were like, yo, I haven't seen your stuff in like a year. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. That's odd because, well, clearly I'm still posting something at least 6 days a week, if not 7 days a week. Sometimes it's good stuff. And I found out too that like a lot of people are watching my stuff on Facebook. So sometimes I'll have a video that has like millions and millions of views, but maybe on Instagram it's only like 200,000 and the other, 1.9 million views or whatever are on Facebook, which is also odd. So I'm not sure how to fix this issue, but I feel like that played a large role in why the ticket sales, especially for Berlin, just weren't doing that well, or have not done as well as we'd hoped. I think that's, I think that plays a big role. Again, like I said, I think there's stuff I can always do better. But let me look here at the ticket sales. So let me see if I can see the total sale, ticket sales so far. Yes. Okay. So I'm not going to like go through every single place just yet because we still have time and I don't want to like make people worry or anything. The ticket sales aren't so bad. Like we're over halfway for Frankfurt. That's cool. Cologne, however, was less than 20%. Hamburg also, we may have to change now that I'm really looking at it because it's less than 20%. So Berlin venue, this huge location, almost 900 seats, was like barely over 10%. Unbelievable. Vienna is moving along. It can always be better. Innsbruck, it's fine. That could also be better. The early show in Munich is almost completely sold out. That's good. The late show is about halfway. And we still have, and we still have some time to push that. And Zurich, of all places, is doing pretty well. So, with the old locations, Cologne and Berlin being, like, super huge venues, it's it was like 32-33% sold. So yeah, we had to face some harsh truths and really think like, well, okay, we have to knock this down. We have to knock this down. It's just the, because I mean, you have to think too, like the last tour was only 4 cities, standing room only, 500 each. And it was like at the peak of my, at the peak of the like social media stuff. And maybe now, I don't know if it was like because I was working on the, like my theory is that because I was working on the book so much, perhaps I did like a few too many brand deals in a row also. Like working on the book, meaning that I put the content second. Not to say that I still didn't try, like still putting something out every day is not easy. But sure, the quality maybe had a dip. So that could have encouraged some lack of engagement. Like maybe people weren't just like automatically liking a post because their friend posted it. I know a lot of people who don't do that. I know a lot of people who don't even like use it at all. I know creators who only just use it and they don't like or follow anybody, which is tough because you want to build a community, but also you get it. and then there's like the book thing. So putting the content second, and then also with the algorithm, it could be that because the engagement changed, like then that's where the algorithm probably played a huge role. And if people weren't like automatically latching onto the content immediately the same way that they used to, well, what does any app want to do? Like Instagram and TikTok, what does any app want to do? Well, they want your attention. They want you to stay on the app as long as humanly possible. It's just true. They can collect your data. They can sell that data. They can sell you ads based on your data, based on your cookies, based on your interaction. They will consistently try to promote new and fresh content and creators to you so that, you know, you will stay on the app longer and see, oh, there's even more fresh stuff. Oh, they always have something fresh on here. So probably it could have been, you know, a combo of a couple of those things. You know, maybe a few people at a time started to maybe not engage as much just for a bit, but before it could shift back naturally, the algorithm shoved my stuff really far down and consistently showed new stuff. I'm sure I played a role in the content having a dip. And then from that part on, or however you want to say it, I played a role, and then from that role, the algorithm took it the rest of the way. Yeah. So with that in mind, the announcement, yeah, is basically that Gloria, so Cologne is now at Gloria. It's, you know what, also, but I wanted to say what my manager said, because it is kind of comforting. Let me pull that back up. Yeah, because, you know, let's see, the whole first tour, the entire first tour was 2,000 tickets. The entire tour was 2,000 tickets. And now if I'm looking at the percentages from this week, we are crossing that. So it's more cities, it's bigger places, so it's not necessarily like as impressive, at least to me, for myself. But this is what she said. So I sent her a message expressing the hardship of dealing with like the concept of failure and like really questioning like, if this doesn't work, like what am I gonna do? And she said, I totally feel you, but it's also super important that you use your time off and vacation to really recharge and don't think about work stuff too much. I feel that it's a lot of pressure with the first tour being sold out so fast, but also this tour is going pretty well overall. I mean, a lot of artists would be happy to sell 2,000 tickets with their second tour, and it is only just your second tour as a comedian. Let's build on this. Let's build this on a good ground and have the future in mind and have long-term success, not only short-term. And I feel that you're doing the right things to have healthy success on the long run. In the long run, she means. That really helps me feel good. that really strengthened my, yeah, that just, you know, it gave me some strength and it reminded me like, well, content is just content, right? Like, I'm happy for the audience I've built, but I can't bank my all of my success on just a dip in the algorithm because there's really not much I can do about that. I'm going to keep making good content and hopefully things continue to grow. I'd love to hit 1 million. That was my goal for like the end of last year or something like crazy, but it didn't happen. But what I really want to keep in mind is like I wouldn't say that my like end all be all dream creatively is to just only make content. I feel like that is, it is like a, what do they always call weed when it, in terms of like making you do other, a gateway. Yeah. I feel like content creation is, and still I think remains for me to be like a gateway platform. I enjoy it and I like making skits. But I don't see that as like, well, that is, I mean, I make money from it sometimes, but it's not like that. I would want to have that on like the gravestone, you know, of like that's what I'm only known for. You know, I think that's also part of the issue is maybe wondering like, well, I put all my eggs in that basket, but is that really what I wanted to do? Now that that's the dipping, I realize more and more, it's like, I need to be on stage. You know, music didn't make enough money for me to continue like putting as much time and energy and money into it as I did for like the majority of my life. Not that I still don't love to do that, like because of the art of it. I mean, don't get me wrong about that. But I realized like I make the content because I like to perform, and that is filming a sketch and writing like jokes and improvising and editing. That is like it is a type of performance, but I think what I'm really almost excited or like what's propelling me now with this reality of like the ticket sales just not doing what we thought they would do. And also now that the book is done, is the feeling of no matter if these shows, you know, sell out or not, no matter if they sell out or not, I need and will make the funniest hour of comedy that I can possibly make. The funniest hour of comedy I can possibly make. And that will encourage the word of mouth for the next round of shows. You know what I mean? Like, let's say there's two friends. Hold on, let me fix my chair here. Let's say that there's two friends and they both follow my content and one of them either started to not see it for a while or, you know, got bored of it or found it repetitive and the other one got a stand-up ticket. So one of them got a ticket and one of them didn't. If the show is like the funniest show that they've ever heard, just packed with jokes, you know, witty stories, you know, well-constructed observational humor, then the person who got the ticket's going to come back and say, you're so dumb for not getting that ticket. It's so much more than just what he does on his content. It's like, it's so much more. And he's so funny and we had such a great time and oh, he hangs out after all the shows and we, you know, took a photo together. He was so nice and he was so thankful that we came and you've got to come next time. It's going to be awesome. And, you know, maybe encouraging people to follow me even more like word of mouth, like, yo, I saw him at this show cause my wife likes his stuff. And now I follow you, you know, then it kind of like builds up again and it kind of creates a new cycle. So my thing is like, okay, I had to face a harsh truth that, you know, the ticket sales just weren't doing what we wanted, so we moved them to a smaller place. But they could be now also that like one or two of them have a good sold out sign, and that's what people want to like. That when you see that, it's like when you pass by a musician busking on the side of the street. You know, they always encourage that if you're going to busk, to put a few bucks in the guitar case before you even start. because people, when they see sold out, they go, oh, there's like limited. Oh, it's special now. Oh, it must be doing well. You know, they, no one, it's, it, when someone's like, you know, I think what is it? If someone's getting like R worded, like, I hate to use this internet language, but like raped on the street, don't they yell fire? Don't people, so that people all look or run or something? There's some rule about that. This is really getting off topic. Sorry. But if people see the sold out signs on these smaller venues, then not only will it probably help move tickets, but also like I would much rather sell out a smaller, I mean, and this is true. It sounds like I'm coping now, but I'm not. If it goes from like 900, if it's a 900 person venue and we sell 300 tickets, that will feel like ass. You know, the room will just echo with silence. But if you move it down to like a 300 person seated venue and it's sold out and you can have a cozy full room of people that want to be there, that's awesome. You know, that's awesome. But yeah, that's the big announcement. And let me see also if I put this new, no, I didn't put this new thing, in there just yet, but I'm going to, another, so that's the thing about the shows. That part's done. So something really cool. Let me see if I have it here. Oh yes, I have it here. I finished reading the audiobook of my new book. I finished reading the audiobook. I am so happy with this. This was so much fun. This was really like so much fun to do. I went to, oh, there's two different options for downloading. Hold on one second. Sorry. I don't have a lot of time to edit this one, so there might be some gaps where I'm just looking something up in the moment. Okay, I'm going to use this link and put it in the show notes. I'm going to put this in the show notes right now so you guys can check it out if you want. So, especially for, like, listeners of, especially for listeners of this podcast, you probably would like the audiobook version of the, I'll type after. I'm sorry. Especially for listeners of the podcast, you'll probably like the audiobook just as much as the physical copy of the book. So either one, either pre-order or, you know, either pre-order of either, you know, version, if it's audio or physical, that sounds great to me because I love you guys. And that means a lot. I went to the studio in Munich and had such a great time doing it. It was also kind of fun to just read it out loud, because you also find these tiny little mistakes, like just little typos and stuff that you don't see when you read it. And it was also fun to like relive these stories. And like the sound guy was like this 25-year-old dude named Yannick. He was really cool. And then the director, we had a director on like a Zoom call. I never saw what she looked like. I only had a voice in a box, which was kind of crazy. We had like three booked days, like 3 8-hour days or something crazy, and we only needed like 2 6-hour days because we just cooked through it. I mean, I found out that I have this odd talent. It's never been useful to me, and I don't know that it ever will. But I have a strange talent of reading like material that I've never read before out loud. I mean, it's a book that I wrote, so I knew where things were going to go. And a lot of it's from my stand-ups. I'm sure that helped. But like just reading out loud smoothly. the director, we would get through like a whole chapter with almost no notes at all. It might be like, hey, let's just go back. You said doesn't, and it's written as don't. You know, and I'm like, oh yeah, thanks. But like, besides like one note like that, I would read the entire chapter with, you know, breath breaks and water, like, and then go back into it with no notes, with no issues, like smooth reading all the way through. And we would get through one, and then the director, you could just hear this almost like this sigh of relief on her end of how because I guess she has to like step in a bunch and like make some, you know, make some, sorry, make a lot of notes and stuff with people. And like she said, it's when she reads with authors, a lot of people like stammer and stumble, and it takes them a lot of takes to get through certain segments. But we would like, I think there's like 14 chapters or something. There's several chapters that I just read from start to bottom and there was no notes. And we would all kind of giggle like, "Woo, okay, wow, we got through the whole thing." And she was really very complimentary, very kind, very sweet. And the Yannick guy was so cool. There was one day, I think it was the second day, I was coming back from lunch and I saw a mom, maybe in her mid-30s, with a toddler who's like maybe 3 or 4, just scream crying like hell. And then she had a baby in a stroller who was crying too. And I was like, "Oh my God, you poor thing." Like, Jesus. And then I made sort of a little look at her in the eyes like, oh, you know, like you never know if the sympathy look is going to come off like a pity look, but I just felt so bad for her and I just couldn't help myself. I was just like, "Oh God," I had a little smirk, like, "I'm so sorry." I was like, "Oh, tut mir sehr leid, oh man." And then I didn't hear the first thing she said because the kid was very loud, but obviously she was German. She pointed up, because like going into where the recording studio was, there was like a garage. Like a garage, like a cement garage path, like for cars. And then on the other side of it, it was in like open air, like an Innenhof, like this courtyard area. So she pointed up and she's like, "Blah, blah, 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 Luftballon, something, something balloon." And I just looked up and exactly in this perfect spot where it couldn't blow away was the kid's balloon. And that's why he was crying so much, which made the baby upset. And I just ran into the studio. I was like, hold on. I ran into the studio. I grabbed Yannick. I was like, "Do you guys have a ladder here?" He was like, "Huh, I don't know." And then he asked some other guy who worked there. He's like, "Yeah, I think it's in the back." We grabbed a ladder from the back storage room, went over to the mom. It was like, "We're going to try and get it." And just the absolute like wave of like shock in her face that anyone would ever do that just made my day, man. She was so thankful. We got the balloon. Yannick is like, I don't know, he's like 110 pounds soaking wet. So I held the ladder for him. I was like, "You weigh a lot less than me. You go up there." He's like, "Yeah, I think it's better that I do it." And he just leapt up there like a monkey and grabbed it and then handed it to her. And the funny thing was, she handed it to the kid. Kid immediately stopped crying. So then the baby stopped crying. And then she was talking to me. And then she started to say, at some point we did switch to English, but the last thing she said to me in German was like, "Is it possible that I recognize you from social media?" And I was like, "Yeah, actually." And then I just answered in English, like my gut instinct was like, "Yeah, yes, yeah." And then she's like, "Oh, so you're the guy from Instagram." I was like, "Yeah, I'm just here. Like, I wrote a book and I'm here recording the audiobook version." She's like, "I'm going to order it. I'm going to like all your videos." I was like, "Oh, that's so sweet." I loved that experience so much because not only did I feel good, but Yannick also was like, "Dude, we earned some serious karma points for that." And I was like, "Yeah, that's, oh yeah, this is good. This is like, you know, next door neighbor shit. Like this just feels so good." And, I guess she has a husband or a partner. I don't know, but that she's alone, two kids. It was a hot day. They're both screaming. It's just like, oh man, you know, you never know also like how tough her day was before that. And then you just see that part and you're like, "Oh my God, this is terrible." So I hope that I made her day better. And it was during the recording of this audiobook that we, yeah, saved a little kid's balloon. But it was really, really nice, really fun. I love little things like that can give you a sense of purpose. You know, it's like the simplest act can make you feel like, "I know what I am to do with my life. I am to be a guardian for the locals, a savior, justice, a vigilante for happiness." But yeah, I'm gonna put this link for the audiobook. I read it myself. I did not do the German version. If there's a request, if there's enough people asking, I'll get a comedian who I trust to read the German version. I mean, I can try it, but I don't think I'm going to have the proper intonation to actually like read a book in German. And then I really will need 3 days, 8 hours each. And then I'll wrap things up here pretty soon because I have a call with my health insurance company in about 15 minutes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the stuff about the shows and the audiobook that you can pre-order. And what did I want to say? Oh, yeah. Well, I can just tell you a short funny thing about Croatia. So I have been to this hotel in Croatia before. I went there with Efi and her parents many years ago. And it just still remains, like, for me, the greatest hotel. I mean, it's not cheap, but it's so great. So great. There's just so much stuff to do. You know, there's often times where I'm at a hotel, like with her parents, and I can, cause it's, you know, sometimes, most of the time, a hotel based around like their interests, which of course, absolutely fine, you know, sure. But it doesn't, that means there's usually not much for me to do except for hang out in the room or like walk in snow. No, thank you. No, thank you. Summer vacations are just better than winter vacations anyway. But we went to Croatia and it was so hot. For the non-Americans out there, it was like 37 degrees. It was like borderline 90 degrees something weather out there. And it was just, it's such a great hotel because the rooms are great and spacious and there's a big balcony and there's just so much stuff. There's like big saltwater pools, there's slides. It's right on the beach. There's two different beach bars. You can charge everything to the room on a bracelet. There's like this amazing restaurant that has like buffet breakfast, which I got my money's worth out of that breakfast buffet. I love a good breakfast buffet. I tear that shit up. So good. I ate like plates and the people we were with are such health freaks too, which has really made me feel embarrassed. Like both of them have six packs. They're very like tall and slender and fit people. And the dude we were with was literally going to an expensive hotel in Croatia, going to the breakfast buffet, which had everything from like Eggs Benedict to like freshly, like someone standing there slicing like dried pig, like pork slices and like cooked hams and fresh fruits and juicers. And like, it was just so cool. And every morning he came in and he sat down with his muesli, with his oatmeal and his berries and his yogurt. And I like him, but I wanted to murder him. Cause I'm like, you do that at home every day. You do that at home every single day, my guy. You're going to pay all this money and come here and not like get your money's worth. I think I ate them out of the money that we paid for the room, honestly. Like, honest to God. Like, I was eating so... It was great. I mean, I gained weight. You're supposed to gain weight on a vacation. This guy would go to the gym every day and eat yogurt and oats for breakfast. And I wanted to wring his neck because it made me feel bad about me. But I didn't stop. The breakfast buffet was amazing. The lunch buffet was chill. Nothing too crazy. It was more like finger foods. We only did that once. The other day we went out for lunch. Or we got it from one of the beach bars, which had really good fries and like pizza. Like we got a cheese pizza that was so good. But then the dinner buffet. I know a lot of Europeans aren't big on self-service. And they're not big on buffets. I love it. I'm American through and through. A good Chinese food buffet or like... you know, a Golden Corral sort of situation. I'm all in. I love a good buffet. And this was like high quality shit. They had people literally like actively in front of you cooking like spare ribs, cheeseburgers. Everything was like fresh. They had like sushi. They had pizzas and calzones. They had like all this... You know, sometimes the British people don't just eat beans on toast and they, you know, they have a lot of good sausages and stuff too. And pork and like, it was just amazing. And it's like, you know, not that I'm a crazy salad guy, but like they made salads look really appetizing. It's like really fresh, like bountiful spinach and lettuce and tomatoes and all these dressings and paprika and all this bread. There's like a whole bread station that had like baguettes and all this stuff you can, and you can just grab a knife and slice it up yourself. It was so cool. And on the last night we were there, there was a guy at the fresh cooking station making cheeseburgers. And I went up, I was like, I gotta try one. I know, I'm in Croatia, I should try something crazy. I'm gonna get a cheeseburger. Got it, so good, it hurt. So good that like, I couldn't, my brain couldn't like understand it. Like, how is it this good? And then I gave Efi a few bites. I was like, okay, well, I didn't have a whole burger. I could just go get another one. Went up again, told the dude, I was like, this is the best burger I think I've ever had in my life. And his boss was behind him, so hopefully I got him a raise. The guy was like, this is wonderful. We are really happy to hear this. I can't do Croatia. We are so happy to hear this. Wow, this is wonderful news. We are so happy to be hearing this. I think it was something like that. But the guy was so like, oh, wow, man, thanks. And then to the table, cut it in half, gave Efi half, and I slaughtered that burger. It was so good. I could have had a third one, but it's a buffet, baby. You gotta spread. You gotta spread that bread. All right, I gotta get off here now because I gotta talk to my insurance company. All right, sorry for a short one, but I'm gonna be announcing later today the stuff about the tour, audiobook and book. Everything is in the show notes. Please pre-order now. It really, 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 really helps me. If you have not pre-ordered that book or you have not gotten Prince of Germany 2025 stand-up comedy tour tickets, please do that now. For fans of the show, you have no idea how much it helps me if you just promote my tour or my book to, even if you have 100 followers, even if you have 10 followers, even if you just print out a picture of it and tell your friends over lunch. I'm asking, please share the news, like please share the ticket links, the announcements about the tour. It could be that we have a lot of mutual friends or mutual followers from different people, and because we all kind of seem to follow in the same niches, you know, sometimes. And it could be that people that follow you and follow me just haven't been seeing my stuff, you know, as we talked about. So please, I am asking, if you enjoy my show, if you enjoy my comedy, please pre-order that book. If you're interested, there's also an audiobook link. And the stand-up comedy tour tickets, please promote that tour. If you've already got your tickets, share it with your friends. You have no idea how much it means to me. It really, really helps. I just adore you guys, and I can't wait to come back a bit more often. I'm going to try and do some lives on TikTok and or Instagram this week. Probably, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. And then, I'm going to be off for a few more days. Well, my laundry's done. That's also perfect timing. Gonna be off for a few days with the wonderful Bender Man himself. Shout out to Moritz and Johanna. And So, all right, guys. Love you and see you next week. Bye bye. Look out, baby. The saints are coming through. And it's all over now. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.